This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
All right. Last week, Jason, we welcomed 5 new members last week. That was exciting, wasn't it, for those of you that were here, and to be able to hear their testimonies and get to know them a little bit more. And I believe that we're going to have more that are going to be joining us and partnering with us as a church. And then Jason was able to bring, and he did do it very well in quick time for him, a good message about being a body. And that's, I want to continue on with that today. He mentioned in his message last week that he would like us to go home and read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Who did their homework? Oh, good. Gold star girls. No, I just want to encourage you, and I would also encourage you, I want to include chapter 14 in that as well, of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And it's talking about the body, and we've heard it in communion this morning. And so there's two things I want to bring up about that. Bev in communion this morning mentioned that we already are a body. And that's what I want us to really get our heart around. I wanted to say mind around, but I've been reminded that we're bypassing our minds this morning and we're going with our heart. So I want you to get your heart around the fact that we are already a body. We're not trying to be one. And I know that sometimes we can use that language in church. We're not aiming to be one. We are one already. It's already a fact. What we're aiming to do when we come together and when we yield to the Word of God, I'm moving around because that light is in a bad spot there, is, I'm just going to go like this. I like this movable one. What we're aiming to do is to do that better. And that's my aim and my prayer for us this morning, that we will recognize that we are one body already. But where do we fit? Where do you fit in that body? I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about this is one time in church. Well, specifically today, I want you to think about yourself and what God's saying to you during this time that we've got together for the benefit of the whole body. But it's got to start with us. So I want you to think about that this morning. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says this, "We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit and we all share the same Spirit." We are already one body. I want us to recognize that and I want us to live that truth. Paul uses the example of our physical body to make his point. The foot can say that it's not part of the body. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 says. If you've got your Bibles open, you might want to just have your Bibles open this morning, and I'll be especially sort of sitting in 1 Corinthians 12 and going backwards and forwards a bit there. But I do encourage you to go home and read those three chapters. It's really interesting, and I'll probably remind you of this later. Paul is talking to the church here. He's not talking to unbelievers. This is a message for us. This is a message for believers. This is a message for the church. And he introduces this, he's answering some of their questions. The church in Corinth, obviously, we don't have the letter that they wrote to Paul, but we've got his response to them. And they'd obviously asked him some questions, and he's responding to them, and he's answering their questions. And in chapter 12, he says, Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question. So they obviously had a question in this area and he's answering that. And he answers it in chapter 12, 13 and 14. And right in the middle, so I want you to hang everything on this, right in the middle of that discourse is that chapter that we know full well. If you've ever been to a wedding or if you're married, you've probably heard it about love. It's the love chapter. And he's going to teach, and we're going to talk today about spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit that God gives us. But I want you to have right in the middle of that love. Because if we don't have love, then all of these things are nothing. And they're actually just noisy. And they actually do more damage than good if there's no love. So Paul uses the example of our physical body to make his point about us being a body. And he says in chapter 12 that the foot can say that it's not part of the body, but the fact is it is still a part of the body. So the foot might say that. And then what else does he say? I think he says the eye or the ear can say that it's not part of the body because it's not the same as the eye. But the fact is it is part of the body. So I want to say to someone here this morning, you might think or say I'm not part of the body because I don't look like the other parts, but the truth is you are. That's a fact that you can't change. My foot might say it's not part of my body, but it actually has no say. It can think what it likes, but the truth is it is part of my body. And whether it likes it or not, it goes where I go. It can't just decide to stay home today. And I want you to think about that in relationship to us here at MCF. Let's think about us as a body. You might be sitting here today thinking, I don't think I really fit here. I want to say to you today, that is a lie. That is a lie from the enemy. And do not entertain that thought when it comes. You've got control over that. You might not necessarily have control about every thought that comes into your mind, but the Bible tells us that we can control what we do with it at that point. So if you're sitting here today, I believe that the Holy Spirit, that God wants to say to you, if you're feeling that you don't fit, that you have no role, that you have no part to play, that's a lie. You are a part of this body. And if you're talking like that, I want to tell you today that that's actually a false humility. Let me read this to you. I keep taking these on and off. I'm going to just have to look over them like that. Humble people fully appreciate their own gifts and talents but don't esteem themselves above others. False humility, on the other hand, is pridefulness in disguise. We need to be so careful about that. We practice false humility when we intentionally devalue ourselves or our contribution in an attempt to appear humble. Humble people fully appreciate their own gifts and talents, but they don't esteem themselves above others. This is the part. False humility, on the other hand, is pridefulness in disguise. You know, the next part of Paul's letter, he says that the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. And we recognize that as pride. How prideful for me to get up and say one morning, I don't need you, feet. I can do this all by myself. Thank you very much. Well, let's just see how that works out for you. And we recognize that pride straight away. We would recognize the pride. If I was to get up here in this church and say, you know what, guys, I don't need you. I can do it all on my own. You would recognize that pride instantly in my life. Jason talked last week about the little foxes. And that false humility that we as Christians so easily fall into is one of those little foxes. Because we don't want to be proud, but the truth is God has given us gifts. He's made us a certain way, and we should embrace that and acknowledge that for the benefit of all of those around about us. That's why Paul teaches about the gifts being one body. And as I said, right in the middle of it is that passage about love. You know, that chapter 13, it's not just a great passage that we read at weddings. It's a passage about how the body of Christ is to operate. When we read chapter 13 about love not being proud or boastful or keeping records of wrongs, being long-suffering and patient and kind, that's how we, when we are doing life together, that's how we need to operate. And it takes practice. We need to practice it. And we need to be patient with each other when we get it wrong. And when we do get it wrong, let's not keep a record of that. Let's forget it and move on. We are all part of this amazing body, each with our own place and our own part to play. And I'm saying all that as actually an introduction to where I really want to go today. But I want to just, a few things happened to me this week. I'm going to share in a minute. Wendy, you think about whether you want to read it or you want me to read it. Wendy sent me a poem on Monday that the Lord had given her when she woke up on Monday morning. And there's, I'm going to share that, either I'm going to share it or Wendy's going to share it with you in a minute. And what I love about that is, that was such a great example of where I want to go today. God had given that to Wendy, and out of her overflow, she shared that with me, and it blessed my heart. She wasn't, she didn't text me and say, oh, I've written this great thing this morning, and I just want to tell someone how, if you know Wendy, it's actually the very opposite of what she would do. But she didn't sit back and say, oh, no. I'm not going to share that with anyone because it was just something, you know, it's only me. Who would want to hear that? Which we can tend to want to do. But she was brave enough to send that to me in a text message, and it blessed my heart. Not just because of the content of the poem, but that she would do that. And so that's why I want to share that today with you about being one body. And the other thing was, Trish, you had a coffee this week with a lady. I didn't catch up with you how that went afterwards, but the story was, I think, was that Danielle actually first met this lady, and I'm not quite sure how that happened, so maybe you can talk to these girls afterwards about it. But Danielle first met this lady and was talking to her, and then she organised for Trish to meet up with her and have a coffee up the street in Mombulk. That's the body of Christ in operation. Did you want to say something, Danielle?
Meet a few friends after church, and they were busy, so Plan B came into play, and I went down to Mombulk town, and I went to this cafe, and the Lord said, say hello to this lady. And as she turned, she had tears coming down her face, and I went and sat with her, and she asked me about my life. I was able to give her a testimony, and from that she opened up and told me about her life and struggles that she was having. And so I thought, oh, there needs to be follow-up here because I don't live in Mombok. So I said, oh, I've got to get my partner in crime, which is Trish. and Trish, you know how Trish is. She loves everybody. So she she went down the next day and took a Bible and led her a bit further. And anyway, Viviana, I actually asked her to receive Jesus, and she actually received Jesus that day and came to the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, what you were saying about the body of Christ, the Lord was showing me that I needed to share this, that we're a church body, and, you know, like Trish got the scripture that I think Apollos was saying, that one sows, one waters, and one reaps. And the Lord gave me the same scripture the same day as Trish. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, we're a church body. We're not on our own. We're working as a team. And I really like to encourage everybody, as part of the team, to pray for Viviana, because we want to see her come in and commit her way to the Lord and say to the Lord, as for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. So, I just really felt really so encouraged by what happened that day. So, thanks.
That's such a perfect example. Wendy, do you want to share your poem? You want me to read it? Okay. It's 6 a.m. and a brand new day, and God spoke to me in his usual way. Get up now and write this down, for I want you to know what I'm saying right now. You're about to embark on a journey ahead where you can invest in the lives of others instead. Take time to listen. Take time to share. Genuinely show others how much you care. Oh, sorry, my iPads. Don't be afraid to step out of your boat. I can assure you, I'll keep you afloat. Don't think you have to have all the answers, for I'm the one who will be their anchor. Don't think you haven't walked their road, and because of this, you just don't know, for your journey has been different in many ways. But that doesn't mean you should stay away. Stop, look, and listen, say hello. But not just how are you, but how is your road? You see, everyone's road has a story to tell, with its twists and its turns and its potholes of hell. So make sure you stop and invest in their lives with more than hello and feeling good vibes. Build on relationships. Be a support. Invite people over. I don't care for your flaws. Don't worry at all if your house. Don't worry at all about your house being in order. It's not about that. It's about living water. As you stop, look, and listen, and invest in caring, people will be more open to sharing. And at the end of the day, you can sit down and rest. And know that I've used you to simply invest. And those two examples just go perfectly with what the Lord's put on my heart for today, for us as a church. I want to have a look now. Let's just, what I really want to talk about, just for a few more minutes, and there will be some homework for you. I want to have a look at the spiritual gifts in chapter 12 because these are things that this is what we need. This is practical today. Often we come to church and, you know, we do. The Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and we want that to happen every time we're together, and He does. But I want today to be a really practical. These are things that you can take home and put into action this morning. And I want you to sit, and as I'm just sharing these few thoughts with you now, I want you to really think about you. And I want you to ask God. We're going to just talk about the spiritual gifts and what that looks like. Each one of you, He wants you to desire the spiritual gifts. It says that in chapter 12, verse 11, it says, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, He alone decides which gift each person should have. He decides, but He wants us to desire. Paul says later in chapter 14, I think it is, that we should desire these spiritual gifts so that we can build up the body of Christ. All right. So Paul starts off this letter by saying, or this part of the letter, and I said that he wants to talk about an area that we, the church, the body of Christ, are not to misunderstand. The King James Version says that we are not to be ignorant. And the Greek word here used means we are to know through information. By implication, we are not to ignore. So this area of spiritual gifts is something that we're not to ignore. He actually says, I don't want you to be ignorant, church. This is really important. Deb was sharing with me this morning that I think she woke up even this morning realizing God's really impressing on her that the time is short. And as she was sharing that with me, I had the picture of a, you know, the, what is it called? The hourglass. And you know, when the hourglass is full, it seems that it takes a long time to empty out till it gets right near the end when almost all the sand is gone and then it just rushes through. Have you seen that? And I agree. I think that's what God is saying. So church, let's not be ignorant about these things. So this is an area that we need to look at and learn about. So this is something for you. If this is something new for you today, then I ask that the Holy Spirit would open your spiritual ears to hear what He's saying. And you may have heard preaching on this before, and you may have read this chapter in your Bible many times over the past, but I pray today that the Holy Spirit would remind you of the things that you may have put aside. That the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance, and that once again you will desire the gifts that He has to give you. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7, it says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Let me just read chapter 12. And now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this or to be ignorant about this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I just want to say there, church, we need to be aware that the enemy can imitate and that there's counterfeit. And we've heard that recently a couple of times that the Holy Spirit's brought that up in our messages over the last couple of weeks. So we need to be aware that the world will try and copy this. So we need to know what the real thing is. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. Just want to stop there for a minute. There's the Trinity right there, church. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is all up in this. It's the Godhead who wants the body of Christ fully equipped and ready. A spiritual gift, verse 7, is given to each of us. Each of you. There's no exceptions. It doesn't say the gifts are given to the pastors or the gifts are given to the worship leaders. They are given to those people, but not exclusively. The gifts are given to each of us. To help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The gifts that we are going to look at today are all meant to be given away. They're given for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the body. I was listening, there's a preacher that I listened to, and he was sharing this story about when he was in college, and it was his roommate's birthday. And his roommate came and gave him a pair of socks, hand-knitted socks. And he said to him, why are you giving me these socks? It's your birthday. And this young man shared with him that his mother had taught him that it was better to give, that you give. So when it was his birthday, his mother had sent him 12 pairs of socks to give away. And so he was the recipient of one of those gifts. And that's what this is about. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts so that we can give them away and help each other. Back in 1 Corinthians 1, read all of Corinthians, but Paul writes in the beginning, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 9, he says, I always thank God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way. With all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge, this confirms what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. MCF, I believe that God wants to enrich our church in every way. He wants to give gifts to each of us so that we will have every spiritual gift that we need. It's the Holy Spirit that decides which gift each person will have, but he does want us to desire. And I want to say that again, MCF, I truly believe the season that we're about to step into, I can see it happening already. where he's sending people, he's joining people with us, he's awakening things in people that have been here for a long time, he's awakening things that have been put aside maybe, he's refreshing those things, he's preparing his bride. He's wanting to enrich MCF in every way so that we've got every single spiritual gift that we need operating in this house. Not so that we build a name for ourselves, not so that we look good, but so that we can build up the body of Christ. And as he brings more people in, we'll be able to minister and it will grow and grow and it will multiply. There's a difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts. We're all born with gifts. Think about what you're good at. Whether it's singing or administration or whether you're a builder or whether you're artistic. I had someone come to my house this week and actually do work on my daughter's house. There are a lot of things that need plastering up. You know, they've got three young kids and there were lots of nicks and holes and things in the walls. And, you know, I'd watched my husband do that many times over the years, so I thought I'll give that a go. So I tried to do that. And when Paul came in, he's my son-in-law's dad, and he came in to do some things for me. And he just looked at me and said, well, you gave it a go. You gave it a go. I thought, thanks, Paul. He didn't say I did a great job, because I didn't. I gave it a go. But he did that, what I gave a go, he naturally, and I know that he had learned to do that, but there's natural skill there, right? He was able to just do that quickly and it was all fixed and it was all sorted. Something that I, you know, gave a go at, he was really good at. And we see that. We see people who are good at, you know, painting and they've got natural gifts. And when we come to Christ, we give him those natural gifts because we know they come from him anyway, right? Even those natural gifts. And we give them to him and he uses that. But then we're looking today at the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Gifts that are given to believers, the body of Christ, so that we can help each other and that we can actually be the body that we already are. We all have the one Spirit within us, but there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence in us. Now, to manifest means to make obvious, to become known, for something to be plainly recognized and thoroughly understood. It actually also means to shine. So we, as believers, all have the Holy Spirit in us. We know that. We all have the Holy... Well, I hope you know that. If you don't know that, it's true. We all have the Holy Spirit in us, but there are times when he wants to make that obvious and let that shine for the benefit of others so that others will be blessed and built up. And that's what we're talking about. I'm not going to go through every one of these in great detail this morning. I'm just going to touch on them quickly in the next 5 minutes. But I would encourage you to go home and look, what I want you to do is I want you to look at these spiritual gifts and I want you to be prayerful about it. I want you to say, God, what is the spiritual gift that you want to give me? I want you to go home. I want you to desire one of them or more of them. And God gives them. It's not that he gives and takes them away, but I think Jason, I don't know if it was this morning or even last week because I was listening to his message over again, where he says, you know, there are times, for instance, when I might need wisdom, great wisdom. Now, God might give me a word of wisdom or he might give one of you a word of wisdom for me in that impossible situation. That doesn't mean you're going to have the answer for me every single time. Right? That's what I mean by we all have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes he manifests himself through us if we're available to be a blessing to others. It's the same with gifts of healing. It's actually not called the gift of healing. It's the gifts of healing that we're given. And Paul even examples that. Paul operated in the gift of healing that God gave him sometimes, but he didn't heal everybody. If I could heal everybody all the time, I would just go down to the hospital now. And we can believe for that, but God gives us those gifts of healing so that he can manifest in his timing the way he wants it done, for who he wants it done, for when he wants it done. Does that make sense? All right. There are also other, this is not, in this chapter 12, it's not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts. It's some of them. You can find more in Ephesians 4, and I think the other list is in Romans 12, where you can go and read about the gifts that the Spirit gives. But let's just have a quick look at these ones. I've already mentioned the word of wisdom, and it doesn't say wisdom, it says a word of wisdom. Let's be, when we read the word, we need to read all the words. It gives, God gives, by his Holy Spirit, a word of wisdom. We know Solomon was a great example of that, right? I wouldn't have known what to do if two mums bring me their babies and need me to tell which is which. And I don't know whether I would have done it the way that he did it. But God gave him a word of wisdom in that moment that he needed it. Who knows that we here in this body of Christ need words of wisdom? Who has ever faced an impossible situation? I have. There's been times when I haven't known what to do. And I've had brothers and sisters who have spoken into my life and given me a word of wisdom in that area. We need each other. I need you. I need you and you need me. We need each other. So there's the word of wisdom when you're in an impossible situation and you need a word of wisdom. And then there's the word of knowledge, being able to say something only God would know. That gets people's attention. Has God ever got your attention that way? He's got my attention that way. It happened here in this house. When I first came back to the Lord, and I've shared this story before, the first Sunday, the first weekend that I came here 23 years ago, I think it was now. I know I look too young for that, but it really was 23 years ago. And there was a presbytery happening here. Now, I had never in my church life, I've grown up in church my whole life, the prophetic, the move of the prophetic, and that was new for me. And I was sitting in a chair here, and I had my head down, my eyes closed, and in my mind, and I'm listening to everything that's going on, and in my mind I'm going, God, if this is real, you need to prove this to me. I said those words in my mind. No, I didn't say them out loud. Next thing I know, the prophet is standing in front of me, and he's saying, all I can say to you is God wants to prove himself to you. He said those words. That got my attention. Only God, that was a word of knowledge. He might not have even realized what he was, you know, that's what he was doing. That gets people's attention. That then opened up my heart because it was something only God could have known about me. God wants us to move in words of knowledge for people. Faith. We all have faith. We know it's impossible to please God without faith, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will give that extraordinary gift of faith to believe the impossible. When everyone else is doubting, even Christians around you, when we have faith, but you, God just gives you that extraordinary gift of faith in a certain area. Who knows, we need that as a body. If I don't have that, there have been times when I didn't have the faith to pray for something. And I can be honest about that. We need to be honest about that. I've had that in my life when through grief or whatever that circumstance was, that I was not able to believe that for myself. But I had brothers and sisters who could. And they came and stood alongside me. And they had that gift of faith. Because it was given only on extraordinary occasions. Now, what I want to say about that is, I believe that God wants to heal. I believe the word says that we can pray for the sick and they will recover. And I believe that we should all do that. But I also believe that sometimes God gives that like I said, that gift of healing, he will make that shine particularly on someone. And this is where we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know whether that's what's operating in us at the time. Miracles. God is a God of miracles. Moses divided the Red Sea. Jesus commands the storm to be still. Peter raises a woman from the dead. We need miracles, not for the sake of miracles. Miracles are a signpost. What do miracles do? They point people to Jesus. And you know, all the miracles that I read in the New Testament happened to non-believers. They were for, there's not many accounts that, and I might be wrong, you can talk to me later. Make it next week. Don't talk to me about it this week if I'm wrong. All the accounts that I can think of, the miracles were for unbelievers. And it was a signpost to them to point them to Jesus. Prophecy, a word from someone that has not come from their own mind, an immediate inspired utterance. And prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom kind of all work together in that way. And we need the prophetic word. Discernment, discerning of spirits, the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what isn't. Church, we need the gift of discernment today so greatly. And I know there are people in this house who have that gift of discernment. And I want to encourage you today that we need that. Satan appears as an angel of light. He deceives with a false, tempting message. There can be lying spirits in the mouths of prophets. This all comes from the Word. This is all scripture-based. And Satan can speak right after God speaks. Sometimes people who seem to say the right things are really from the devil. It's important to test the word of anyone who claims to speak from God. Satan can work deceiving miracles. The devil will try to infiltrate the church with false teachers. The church, he'll try to, that's what the word says. In Jude 1:4, it says, Satan will try to infiltrate the church with false teachers. How we need the gift of discernment in the church today. I was sharing with Jason this week, and some of you might have seen it, Moon and Soul in Mombulk. Everyone know that shop in Mombulk? Don't just walk past that shop and think it's nothing. Next week, when we're going to be here doing our spirit, what are we doing next weekend? Single Life and the New Connection. At Moon and Soul, they're going to be having their own gathering. And they make it sound so appealing. Come for healing. If you need knowledge or wisdom, this is how they're advertising it. So we need to be aware, church. We need discernment. Unknown languages. This is the only gift that is better for us. So I'll just say about that. When we speak in an unknown language, that's a gift that's given for us. And if it is something that's given for the body of Christ, it needs to have the next gift, which is the gift of interpretation. And read about that. And we might do some further teaching about that in time to come. I just want you to remember these brief things as we finish today. I want you to remember that the gifts are varied. Not everyone, we've talked about this, not everyone's a foot, not everyone's an eye, not everyone's a mouth, but you are part of this body. And all of the gifts are varied. Gifts are not earned. That says that in its title, right? A gift. It's a gift that's given. So gifts aren't earned. And most importantly, church, gifts are not the goal. They are the gateway. Gifts are given so that we can help each other, so that our church will be enriched in every way. And this was my word for you today, church. You are not a spectator. You're not a spectator. And if you have been spectating, and if you've been sitting back, I want to encourage you today, please go home, pray, ask God, be open to the Holy Spirit so that he can move through you and MCF can be enriched in every way and have every spiritual gift that we need. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. I thank you for this house, Lord God. And my prayer today is for this house, for Mombok Christian Fellowship, Lord God, that you would enrich our church in every way, that each and every spiritual gift will be operating in this house, that each person sitting here in a seat today, no matter of age, would know that they are already part of this body and that you have a role for them to play, an integral part to play. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to hearts right now. I pray that you would move across this whole room, Holy Spirit, and that you would birth a hunger and a desire in each one of us to operate in whatever spiritual gift you choose to give us. Thank you that you're a good Father and that you know what we need here, right now, for this season in time. And God, it's not so that we... Please keep our hearts right. That's what I would pray. Please keep our hearts right. That this wouldn't be, our motive and our agenda would not be to make a great name for ourselves, but to glorify your name and to bear much fruit for your kingdom. And I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.